So a very warm welcome to everyone. Really lovely to be with you again. So as you know, the way this will flow, I'll give a few ideas about the practice and then we'll go into practice together. And so, be comfortable for this part and then we'll have a little stretch and then we'll come into the meditation. So hopefully it's been reasonably helpful to be doing our practice in the way that we've been exploring it here. So we've been paying attention as much as we can to what's present and welcoming, inviting the breath to be more comfortable, maybe more deeper, more slower, or coming into the listening with more spaciousness, which allows a bit more intimacy, sensitivity. And so there's a really important insight in available for us through this practice, that there's always a slightly more enjoyable, slightly more free way of relating available to us. So we can affect the way that we relate through opening the space, making more space. We mentioned yesterday in the talk that we can have a lot of reactivity in our life. And changing this way of relating actually lessens the amount of reactivity. So what I'd like to encourage us to do today is keeping on with the same practice, but also just opening the range a little bit wider. Particularly looking at how we can support non-reactivity in relationship to what's painful or what's unpleasant. So whenever something like an unpleasant sound or a painful feeling in the body or something in the mind, we can get quite reactive, quite contracted around that. So part of our invitation here is to see, actually, could I open even with something that's painful, something that's unpleasant? Can I bring kindness to this? So normally we try to escape or ignore, painful experiences. Or if we turn towards them, it's often to kind of fix them so that they go away. And so we could say all of these are forms of reactivity. So our practice so far has been opening to a sense of possibilities. And the insight there is that the way of relating is more significant than the thing I'm relating to. So, for example, if I'm experiencing pain and I'm having a lot of reactivity to that, the primary experience is actually reactivity more than it is pain. And the same, if there's someone outside my window making a lot of unpleasant noise, but what I choose to do is bring a lot of kindness to them, my experience is one of kindness more than it is of noise. Particularly or specifically, if I bring my mindfulness to the kindness, that's what my attention lands on. Yeah, I'm offering kindness. Okay, so that's kind of like the main idea of what we're going to be exploring, a different way of relating to the unpleasantness with kindness and space. Maybe it's worth, just being accurate about our language from the beginning, but we're kind of open to this a little bit more later on. When we talk about unpleasantness, that's like a label we've put on something. It doesn't exist as unpleasantness from its own side. And if we bring a lot more spaciousness and a lot more kindness, then we actually get to know this experience within that label. Underneath that label, what are you really like? Yeah, let's see the clearest way to say it. So something appears, a sound appears, and we think, oh, you are unpleasant, I don't want you. And then say we go off into our mission of like, how can I get away from this? Or how can I stop this happening? A lot of that reactivity happens subconsciously. We never really consciously listened to the sound or whatever it was. It's like a friend or anyone who might say to us, don't go in that door, it smells horrible. As we, oh, I'll keep away from that door forever. We never went in, we never smelled. Maybe for us it smells okay. But unpleasantness is an opinion we've been told. It's unpleasant. It's an opinion we've been told. And what can we do there? open, kindness, get to know. Just suddenly, and I think this might be hard to translate, but let's give it a go. I just remembered a Mark Twain joke. Do you know Mark Twain, the American writer? He's a humorist, so this is meant to be funny more than it is reality. Yeah. And he says, "Some of the worst things in my life never happened." What he's meaning there is, you know, that amount of worry I had about things that were going to unfold and all the stress and the anxiety, I never experienced them because it was just a worry. And this person was quite a traveler, quite an adventurer. They went to places, perhaps that others would say, oh, you shouldn't go there. But they went there. Now, this is quite a powerful practice, so it's worth being aware that we still want to be kind to the body. We still want to be kind to the mind, right? We're not pushing through the pain barriers. So don't use this as a way of like, oh, okay, now I'm never going to listen to my body when it says it hurts, you know. Or I'm going to ignore psychological stress because it's not real, it's just an opinion. But perhaps there's actually a lot more that I can be with, a lot more I can tolerate without getting reactive. So in practical terms, this is still going to mean probably a longer breath or a wider space of listening to sounds for most of the time. Because these really express a more kind of free way of being, a more comfortable, more pleasant. But what we might notice as more ease is supported, areas that still retain some contraction, some pain, some tension, some difficulty. And say it's in the body, and it's hard to bear this. It's hard to rest the attention for it to stay there. And so we bring this insight across, which is that the dukkha, the reactivity, is in the way of relating. And that's the difficulty. That's the main difficulty. So it's this kind of main insight that we said at the beginning. There's an object in attention, and there's also an atmosphere in that attention. And just seeing, can we shape the atmosphere? So for this, it's actually kind of fun to play with a concept, a way of conceiving. So once we've been meditating for a little while, you actually might notice that the mind can become a bit more malleable or even kind of suggestible. We can kind of suggest ideas into the mind that we can play with. So we've already spoken about a few of these, but just to kind of name them a little bit more clearly. So we spoke about kind of brightening, like a sensing like there's brightness in the breath. You know, we're just kind of imagining that in there. And somehow, for some of us, that can really have an impact. In the Thai forest tradition of Buddhism, they go quite adventurous in what they're willing to conceive that the breath is able to do. For example, they might imagine that the breath comes in, you know, just below the belly button, you know, that kind of little bit in the belly. And then just imagine the breath comes in and out of that area. You know, it doesn't need to come in the mouth and work its way down and or the nostrils. It doesn't have anything to do with respiration. So oh, it just comes in and out of that area. And maybe, you know, we're aware anatomical breathing is still happening, but what we're paying attention to is that felt sense of the breath breathing in and out of this area. And some of you might really enjoy that. I think it's quite a lot of fun to have. And so it might even become the most helpful and pleasant way of breathing for us. And of course, it's not limited. You know, it's not like you either have to breathe like you're thinking of your anatomy, or you have to breathe in from that area. It could be anywhere that you breathe. You might breathe in and out through the bottom of your feet. So obviously, we know we're imagining this. Like we could put our feet in water and they can still breathe. You know, it's not like it's really happening, but it can be helpful to think of it that way. And of course, there may be some of us listening to this, also recording it, so that kind of opens the range, who just think that sounds really stupid because, you know, we can only breathe in through the mouth and the nose. That's the only way you can breathe, and that's the end of the discussion. And that's fine too. You know, you can still go a really long way, even within that concept. So that's there, that's available for us. Okay. And you can do the same thing in the realm of the sounds. You know, for example, you could feel like sounds are out there, occurring to us. At other times, it might be really helpful to feel that I'm out there and the sounds are happening within me. Yeah. In that sense, we kind of open and we are that sensitive awareness, Sounds just arise and pass within that. The way we conceive really can shape our experience. So the practice for today, when we notice it, is that, oh, there's something unpleasant. Let's move from being reactive to being responsive. So normally we're going to resist the unpleasant, shrink away or fight against it. And so rather than getting small and pushy, can we expand and soften? So in the sounds, can I stay open and allow this sound to be here? If there's a pain in the body, can I stay relaxed while I pay attention to this? And if we can work with the breath, what would it be like if I breathe out, maybe as the breath kind of comes out through or around that area of tension that's built up around the pain? Or maybe I can breathe in and towards, kind of soothing, expanding that area that feels unpleasant or painful. And we may notice when we meet experience in this way and there's less reactivity, it's more enjoyable for us. So we could actually see our practice, this shift from reactivity to responsiveness, as cultivating a lot of beautiful qualities for our life. You know, we're also developing patience or tolerance, which I think we'd probably all agree are beautiful qualities for a human being to develop. We're also developing more and more this sensitivity and spaciousness. And by the skillful use of our imagination, I think we're also really supporting creativity. And what can we create in our experience? So with all of the things that we're developing, we're starting with the simple, and over time it can become more complex and meet all of our life. Yeah, let's come from a different angle. So let's focus on working with the body or with the listening at first to learn how this practice can work for us. It's easier to work with body sensations and sounds than it might be with something we take more personally, like thoughts and emotions. But over time, we'll also be able to utilize this understanding. It's the way I'm relating that's affecting how this is appearing in all the fields of our life, all the sense doors. So that's just to say, you're really amazing, but let's be a little bit humble today and keep it simple. Okay, so I think the best thing with these ideas is to bring them into practice. So if you need a little stand up and stretch, we'll get into the meditation together. So as we did yesterday, anytime you need to come back from mind wandering, you can really emphasize more the, yes, present, gathered. And you can enjoy that. And also when we're more present, we can invite the breath deeper into the body or invite the sounds more into awareness. So as before, supporting that grounding through the lower part of the body into the ground, rooting. upwards, supporting the balancing, the steadiness, the aliveness, the upper part of the body. And also supporting a relaxation, maybe particularly on the out-breath. Maybe there's a more emphasis on relaxation as we breathe out, softening. There's an enlivening and opening on the in-breath. And in the realm of the breath, knowing that we can expand the range wider than the anatomy, maybe you know, I can breathe in even all the way deep into the hips. Remembering the back of the body in the breathing, or the behind in the listening. Remembering you can use the counting with the breath if it helps. For the steadiness, the little challenge of 3 or 5 breaths in a row. Emphasizing more the intimacy, the sensitivity with the breath than with the counting. Let the counting be more in the background. Let's take a few minutes just finding what's the right degree of spaciousness in the listening, or the rhythm, the smoothness, the depth of the breath. Noticing what's in attention now. If we're coming back from some thinking, just making sure that we also take the time to relax. Can be a good time to check if we're leaning forwards or leaning backwards. And now we'll change the practice a little bit. So rather than trying to find the most comfortable way of breathing or listening, see if there's anything a little bit unpleasant that we can find and meet well. Maybe there's a something feels a little ticklish in the body or itchy. We won't go for the most painful, but if there's something a little bit painful, a little bit tight, a little bit feels a bit blocked, if there's something in the sounds like that. Notice if there's any kind of shrinking away or fighting against, some kind of, I don't want this here. And with some kindness and tolerance, maybe we can just say, you're actually welcome to be here. It's okay, you're welcome to be here. Now some of them may even begin to disappear just by being welcomed, or just through, you know, they have their time and then they pass. But if there's anything at all that could be a little bit unpleasant, what would it be like if we breathed towards it, breathed around it in a soothing way? If we notice there's any boundary where the painful, the unpleasantness kind of starts to become more like the rest of the neutral body space or sound space, can we breathe into that boundary? Just see how far it goes. You know, maybe we can breathe through that boundary in towards the sensations themselves. Get to know those sensations a little bit better. So the in-breath letting us come closer, the out-breath expanding, relaxing, giving more space. Let's take a few breaths this way. In breath, bringing kindness, soothing, compassion. Out breath, releasing, relaxing, letting it expand, have more space. You can stay breathing and intimate with a sensation for as long as it's there. Sometimes they pass just because everything is inconstant, so of course they also pass. Sometimes they pass because what was mostly sustaining them was the reactivity. And without the reactivity, they just flow on much more quickly. And so if something passes, we can come to another, anything at all that feels a little bit unpleasant. Or, of course, we can return to a larger, spacious awareness with a more comfortable breath, more comfortable way of listening. And let's just pass the last minute of this session in that way, large, spacious awareness, and also the unpleasantness are welcome to be here in this space. So enjoying the transition. So not letting the balloon completely go at this time, what you've developed, what you've cultivated. So I'll just say a few words about using this practice in combination with yesterday's practice. So probably keeping the spacious awareness, keeping the long, enjoyable breath as the main practice. So you don't need to go looking for painfulness or unpleasantness in your experience unless you really enjoy the benefits of this practice, then yeah, then you should do it. Probably what we want is, oh, sorry. Probably what we want to notice is that at certain times our mind will grab onto something that's unpleasant, or we're trying to escape from it or trying to get rid of it. Okay, did you miss that? Yeah. So, doing the main practice that we did yesterday, but we'll notice at times our mind will grab onto or fix onto something that's unpleasant, and then it'd be really helpful to bring these practices from today into that moment. So just acknowledging it, meeting it, welcoming it to be here, maybe breathing with it, like we were exploring. So if it changes, if it reduces, or if it disappears in some way, just noticing that. And then when it's right, coming back again to the more spacious awareness, deep breathing, that kind of practice again. If meeting it in this way has some impact, just notice the insight of that. It might occur to us, because we're intelligent beings, it's like, oh, now I know the fix and I'll never have body pain ever again. That's not the kind of the goal of the practice. So as we said before, being sensitive that if the pain that you're working with kind of persists beyond the sitting, or is coming from a known injury in the body, do move your body during the meditation. It's really helpful to see, oh, there's a psychological aspect to the pain that's not the same as the pain sensations, but we don't want to do damage to ourselves. So stillness is really important for, kind of settling and gathering that steadiness. But it's much more significantly an attitude, a way of relating, rather than a physical stillness. So right now you could move your body in a way with slowly, sensitively, so it actually doesn't cause any disturbance in the mind. That whole kind of Tai Chi kind of way of moving, like air and water, it doesn't cause disturbance. So if we need to move posture in the meditation because there's too much pain, let's move like a Tai Chi, that kind of movement. Okay, so before your balloon deflates, so we can take this out into the walking with us as well. We might notice at certain times when, it's time to go out and do some walking, that we actually think, oh, walking is unpleasant. I don't want to do the walking. I want to have a cup of tea or something else. So also have tea, enjoy it. But can we tolerate that? Can we welcome that? Can we relax with that and still do the walking? So the question will be, it may not be the walking, it might be something else in the day. Oh, I don't want to do that. And then can we still do it and stay spacious, stay kind, stay caring? And so if we're walking outside, it might at times be too cold or too wet or too sunny or whatever. And then again, okay, that's also fine. I don't need to be so reactive. I can be more responsive. And then, just keep on cultivating, developing, sustaining more and more deeper practice with the walking as well through the day. Okay, so let's have some time now for any kind of questions or reflections you have about the practice. And if anyone wants to and they feel set up and ready, you're welcome to head out and do the walking already.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.